Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It's a Wednesday morning. It's March 13, 2024. Great to be with you on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We have a great show for you lined up, as always. I wanted to revisit the discussion we had on this amazing university, a Catholic Institute of Technology. Did you hear about it? What an opportunity for young people who are studying engineering, mechanics, science, to actually do so in the heart of Italy. It is in the Alban Hills, and if you've never been to this part of Italy, it's a beautiful place to get away from the city. I love Rome, but sometimes Rome can be really crazy and overcrowded. So they're giving these students the opportunity not only, obviously, to study their area of interest, but then they also are immersed in the culture. They're immersed in the faith. They're immersed in the beauty. And they're right there in Castel Gandolfo, which is about 35 minutes south of Rome. It's in the Frascati region, beautiful hills, Lake Albano, which is a volcanic lake. And they're right by the former residence of the Pope, the summer residence of the Pope. So they have it all right there, and they stay right in the town. And so, again, they are able to immerse themselves in the culture for quite an experience. And I was very much intrigued by that because I just think it's a great opportunity for young people if they can expose themselves to different things. I mean, if I had an opportunity like that, I wasn't even thinking about Italy when I was in college. I was all about journalism school. But imagine having that opportunity and how that could help them stay rooted in their faith. So we're going to be talking about that on the program. And I also wanted to encourage you to take a look, if you haven't done the readings for today, to take a look at the gospel. I did about 15 minutes on this in my first hour in a segment I called T's Two Cents. I was really struck by it. Our Lord talking about how he's here to do the will of the Father. And in this particular gospel, from the Gospel of St. John this morning, over and over again, he's saying, I've come to do the will of the Father. I am not doing this on my own. I've come to do the will of the Father. Of course, we hear that throughout the New Testament in the words of our Lord. But it's just a reminder as we move through Lent. Are we really, as my mother always said in the first chapter of my Rosie book, offering it up to God and putting it at the foot of the cross, not just with offering up our suffering, which is a big part of that, right? In the Catholic Church, we have something that we understand, which is so beautiful and powerful, redemptive suffering. But it's not just that. It is about laying down your life every day for the Lord. And I was reminding my listeners just about an hour ago, the beautiful prayer of St. Teresa of Avila, my patron. It's not let nothing disturb you, which is awesome as well. But she has another prayer or poem, In the Hands of God. And she says repeatedly in that poem, I am yours. I was made for you. What do you want me to do? And especially during Lent, it is something that you can do and just remind yourself that are we really doing the exercises, the prayer, making those statements, and really meaning it, that we are giving our life over to God and giving our will over to God. So just some thoughts for today on a Wednesday morning. Weather-wise, we've got some rough weather that moved through yesterday as well in the Rockies, Colorado getting slammed with snow and other parts of the area near there. And we also have some dry areas down south and then warmer temperatures out east and in the Midwest. So that's what it's looking like right now on a Wednesday morning. And we hope you can stay tuned for the entire program. Oh, I want to remind you, if you get a chance, find the book Cabrini. You can get it through Sophia or you can get it through Ignatius Press. I endorse the book and I'm going over it again because we're going to be doing more interviews on the media and about the life, about the movie and the life of St. Francis Cabrini. But there's so much in that book that will really help the movie click for you because they really studied her life, those who were behind the movie. And they really captured it. When you look at this book that originally came out, I think, in the, a while ago, and it was republished in time for, obviously, the film coming out. So just a few ideas for you this morning on a Wednesday. Thanks for listening to EWTN. Hope this day is going well for you. Let's get started right now with the news. Some Ukrainian officials, as Mark Mayfield tells us, are angry over the Pope's comments that the country should seek to negotiate an end to the war with Russia.
In a recent interview with Swiss media, the pontiff said that when one sees they are defeated, they should have the courage to negotiate, the courage of the white flag, he called it. Ukrainians immediately responded with outrage. The country's ambassador told the Vatican Monday that Kyiv could not accept the Pope's logic, and the foreign minister said they will never raise a flag other than their national yellow and blue. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Meanwhile, in an interview with an Italian newspaper, the Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin saying this week, one must never forget context, which is in this case is a question that was addressed to the Pope. He, in response, the Cardinal said, spoke of negotiation, and in particular, the courage to negotiate, which is never a surrender. He said the Holy See continues to pursue this line and continues to call for a ceasefire, and it should be the aggressors who cease fire first. And then he also said the opening of negotiations would follow. The Holy Father explains, the Cardinal said, that negotiating is not weakness, but strength. It is not surrender, but courage. A judge in El Paso, Texas, blocking efforts by the attorney general there to close a Catholic charity that houses illegal immigrants. Supporters of the Annunciation House say this is a check on the power of the Republican leaders in Texas.
They want to see a deterioration of humanitarian care because it suits their political purposes.
Democratic Congresswoman Veronica Escobar is grateful, she says, for the decision, which puts a pause on Ken Paxton's plans to shut down the Annunciation House. She says if it were successful, other charities that work with migrants would be next. The AG compared the shelter to a stash house. Trey Thomas tells us 100 migrants were caught on video racing across the border in San Diego over the weekend.
Laura Ramirez shot the video as she was crossing through the port of entry into San Diego.
Saw a lot of women, children, men crossing. As a mother, I did really worry about the children. I saw children falling down, getting just pulled, trying to run.
NBC 7 San Diego says the large group crossed a half mile from the port of entry on Sunday.
A transcript of Joe Biden's interview with the special counsel investigating his handling of classified documents is being released. According to NBC News, Biden spoke with Robert Herr for over 3 hours on October 8th and again for over an hour the next day when he faced a number of questions about documents he saw as VP and how he stored them. The report concludes with Herr saying Biden is an elderly man with a poor memory and was unable to remember key dates such as when his son died or when he served as vice president. Herr, meanwhile, testified on Capitol Hill this week before Republican-led committees. The assessment of the president's mental fitness is a key part of the testimony. New York City's transit workers are expected to push back against their governor's subway safety plan that follows a number of attacks. Several MTA station workers, conductors, and bus drivers have been assaulted, and one rider has a solution.
I think they should have police working on the train, riding the train system, being part of the, with the conductors, you know, work with them, be in the cars. And when a situation like this arrives, they'd be there.
The Transport Workers Union Local 100 says a Manhattan district attorney has failed to take action, citing minimal penalties and fast releases. Some riders agree, saying lawmakers need to adjust bail reform and stop releasing violent criminals. According to New York police stats, crime on the subway is up more than 13% so far this year. And Scott Peterson, as Gianna Kodiak tells us, is still trying to clear his name some 20 years after being convicted of murdering his wife and unborn son.
In a Tuesday hearing, the Los Angeles Innocence Project is hoping a judge will allow them to get additional evidence from the first trial that they say could clear his name. Peterson was convicted in 2004 and given the death penalty, but in 2020, the California Supreme Court overturned the sentence, and the 51-year-old is now serving life without the possibility of parole. Lacey Peterson's body was found in the San Francisco Bay in 2003.
A new report says the U.S. government must act quickly to avoid the risks of artificial intelligence. Those risks range from national security threats to, in a theorized extreme case, an extinction-level threat to the human species. And reporter Angie Norvell tells us that Jackson, Mississippi police have a warning for us concerning Facebook and its marketplace.
Several arrests have been made for charges that include embezzlement and false pretense. Jackson police say the suspects set up Facebook pages with fake profiles using information from previous victims, largely targeting people in Alabama and Louisiana. They would have victims meet them in Jackson and then rob the seller at gunpoint or give them a fake cashier's check forged to match the suspect's fake IDs. They primarily targeted people selling cars, ATVs, motorcycles, and dirt bikes. Experts say do your homework when conducting transactions on Facebook Marketplace and use a police precinct as a place to meet to add a layer of security to your transaction.
Many are struggling still to get back on schedule after this weekend's time change. Experts say our cell phones and tablets are making it even harder to adjust.
Any source of bright light, when we are exposed to it, that goes to the brain and tells the brain it's morning.
That's sleep specialist Suhaib Haq, who says this goes for TVs as well at bedtime. He says it's important to get back on a good sleep schedule after a time change. Studies show a lack of rest affects your cardiovascular system. This time of year, they do see an increase in heart attacks. Brian Shook tells us Airbnb banning the use of indoor security cameras at all of its global listings.
The company says they want to simplify their policy on cameras and prioritize the privacy of our community. In a press release on the company website, they write, historically, the company has allowed indoor cameras as long as they were in common areas and the location was disclosed. Now they will not be allowed inside the listing regardless of their location. Video doorbells and decibel meters will still be allowed, but their locations must be disclosed. I'm Brian Shook.
And the Los Angeles Lakers confirming the spelling errors fans have noticed on the new Kobe Bryant statue outside of Crypto.com Arena will be fixed. Several players' names in the word decision are misspelled on the box score of Bryant's 81-point game against the Toronto Raptors, which is upsetting some fans.
Something like that, I just wouldn't expect it. It's like a statue of such, like, obviously a great player. You think you want to put, like, as much work and make sure you don't make any mistakes at all on it.
There is also a formatting mistake on the other side of the statue's marble base where Bryant's career accomplishments are etched in. The statue was unveiled in February. The Lakers organization says it's known about the errors for a few weeks. And finally, in our news segment on a Wednesday, March 13th, Gady Gray tells us that there's a 7-year-old boy in South Carolina that recently is being recognized or was recognized internationally for his high IQ.
Bounty Street Elementary School student Chase Palmer recently became the newest member of MANSA, an international high IQ society with members scoring in the top 2%. Chase's parents tell WIS News 10 they noticed Chase's passion for learning early on, but it wasn't until they got him tested did they realize how brilliant he really was. Chase's mother shared that she was nervous about getting him tested, knowing that his score could change his life. There are currently 164 members of MANSA in Central South Carolina and the Eastern counties of Georgia.
More Catholic Connection coming up on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for tuning in to this program, co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Check us out online, AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com.
Hey, this is Michael O'Neill, the Miracle Hunter. I'll be delving into the fascinating world of miracles and taking you on a hunt that explores the greatest mysteries and marvels of the Catholic Church. I'll be examining what constitutes a miracle, how miracles are investigated and approved, and the role they play in the lives of the faithful. We'll look at the miracles of the Gospels and early Christianity, considering the claims of the miraculous in our own modern age.
The Miracle Hunter, Saturday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
You're listening to the best of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio.
If you're a parent or anyone who's concerned about children and the impact on media, and more specifically of social media, phone use, all that, well, you're going to be appreciating the, not only the interview that we're doing this morning, I hope, but also the article that Maureen Ferguson wrote, her op-ed, and we will put it there on our archive section at AveMariaRadio.net under the Catholic Connection Archives. So, Maureen, I read your piece, excellent, and I was telling you during the break, my very first book, Noise, which came out in 2007, I revamped it in 2012, and even since 2012, in the last 12 years, you can't keep up with the advances and what's available, and not in a good way, out there for children and for everybody to have easy access to. So tell us why you decided to pen this op-ed.
So this is a topic I've been wanting to write on for a long time, because I think it's really the most important question facing parents today, because so many of the other things we worry about for our kids fall under this umbrella. So the question that vexes most parents today, and the question I wrote this article on for Newsweek, is, do I give my child a smartphone? Do I give my child access to social media? At what age is that appropriate? So I wrote this piece for Newsweek. You can find it online. Yep. It's called Parents, Here's How We Can Protect Kids from the Dangers of Smartphones. And what prompted me to write this is recently the Senate Judiciary Committee held a four-hour hearing with the heads of all the social media companies, the head of, you know, Meta, Instagram, TikTok, X, you know, formerly known as Twitter,
right. Mm-hmm.
Discord, if you've ever heard of that. Mm-hmm. One, never, ever, ever let your kid on Discord. But the Judiciary Committee pulled all the CEOs of big tech in front of them, and I watched as all of them held up their right hand and swore that social media is safe for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know this is not true. There were statements that these CEOs made during the hearing that just elicited laughter, like outright incredulity and laughter from both senators and the audience. And the audience, by the way, was filled with parents whose children have suffered tremendously. Many of them even have died as a result of their online activities, whether through cyberbullying. There's a new term called cyberbullicide.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's kids who commit suicide after being bullied. And I mean, it's like hard to imagine how bad this bullying is on an adolescent brain. Kids who've been victims of predators online. Kids who, this is a new thing called sextortion. Again,
right.
These are new terms that parents need to be aware of. Kids are tricked into sending photos of themselves, compromising photos of themselves that they never should be sending, but they get tricked. They think they have a new boyfriend or girlfriend online, someone their age. They get tricked into doing this. And those images end up being child pornography,
right,
that is circulated,
right. Yeah.
Online. And there are literally Nigerian rings that are extorting kids, and they trick them into not telling their parents. So the audience at this hearing was full of parents holding up pictures of their children who had died, whether through, you know, exposure to eating disorder material, you know, the promotion, the glamorization of eating disorders online, drunk driving, self-harm, all these. I mean, it's beyond obvious now to everybody who's paying attention that social media and smartphones are toxic for our children.
Now, you're saying in this piece, and by the way, we'll post this again for folks who are just tuning in. We're having a very, very important conversation with Maureen Ferguson and her op-ed, which was posted on February 15th and updated on the 16th of February. Parents, here's how we can protect kids from the dangers of smartphones. An opinion piece we penned for Newsweek. We'll put a link to it. And you're saying that, you know what, despite what they said, and they're also claiming, oh, they're safe, and we're sorry if we hurt anybody. We really didn't mean that. We feel it's safe. You're saying you're not buying it, and we shouldn't either, and that they know exactly what they're doing.
So here's what I'm saying in my piece. There's, you know, every few months in Washington, there's a big hearing with big tech. And the politicians say they're going to do something about it, and the big tech CEOs say that they're going to do something about it. They say that they're going to have better parental controls.
Right.
Well, this is my message to parents. Parents, you are the parental control.
Right.
You don't have to give this stuff to your kids. Developmentally, they cannot handle it. These products are designed to manipulate your children, to hook your children. We know how hard it is for us to not be addicted to our smartphones and social media apps. But a developing adolescent brain, it's utterly toxic, utterly and completely toxic for kids. So the U.S. Surgeon General now, President Biden, Surgeon General, this is not a left-right issue. This is not a conservative Catholic mom concern. Mm-hmm. This is parents on the left, parents on the right. Everybody is concerned. And the Biden administration Surgeon General is saying this is a mental health crisis for an entire generation of children. And what I argue in this op-ed in Newsweek, and what the Surgeon General is saying, is that this is the way for parents to say no. Get together with your kids' friend group's parents, so the parents of your kids' friends. Get together and collude with them, essentially. Enter into a conspiracy for the good. I just did this. I have a 13-year-old, and I just did this with the parents in her class. Me and the moms all got together for coffee, and we said, hey, our girls are turning 13. These are very delicate years for our girls. How can we make this easier on all of us? Let's all together say, no smartphones, no social media. I'll give you a dumb phone. There's a Gab wireless or a pinwheel or the Bark phone. There are alternative products where kids can phone and text, but they can't scroll the internet or go down dangerous rabbit holes or be approached by predators on, you know, what is referred to as a dumb phone as opposed to a smartphone.
Right.
So what we did is we got together for coffee with all the moms, and we said, let's stick together so our kid is not the only one without a phone. Because a major reason that parents give in...
Peer pressure. Pressure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they don't want their kid to be left out. They don't want their kid to be sort of the weird, isolated kid that is the only one without a phone. Well, guess what? I've already raised four teenagers, and I'm just starting again with our fifth. With my four teenagers, this is what we did. None of them had social media or smartphones. What we said is, you have your college applications in senior year. So then that gave us about a half a year while they were still under our roof to train them in how to handle a smartphone, how to have appropriate control, how to stay away from the dangerous stuff. It gave us time to train them before they left for college, but it allowed them to go through those key adolescent years of development essentially screen-free, except for homework. And what we have to do as parents, if we're going to take this bold step, which I'm telling you, it worked for our four. Like, two of my daughters were elected senior class president without smartphones or social media.
So in other words, Maureen, they survived. They didn't die of anything tragic because they didn't have a smartphone, right?
Guess what? They didn't just survive. They thrived.
They thrived,
Because we were very intentional about building an in-person social life. So we made a point of making our house the party house. The kids had friends over all the time. They hung out in our basement. We invested in a ping pong table, and we put a little fire pit outside in the backyard. So the kids hung out in person. They weren't just all heads down, isolated on the phones.
Right.
That's the great irony, is that people join social media. Kids want to be on social media because they want to be part of the group, but it actually ends up making them more isolated. They spend more time alone with their screen, as opposed to
right.
if you help them develop a real in-person social life, like have them, I mean, one of my sons, he and his friends all the time, they went out on hikes. Like, it was a great social environment.
Well, you're speaking of hikes, that's another problem associated with too much media use, because the kids aren't getting out and getting exercise and getting exposed to the air and to the sun. So it's not healthy physically as well as mentally and everything else that goes along with it. Maureen, let's continue the conversation. We have to take a quick break. 25 minutes past the hour. Maureen Ferguson, Senior Fellow for the Catholic Association, how she handles social media and phones in her own family. Great advice. We'll be right back.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what? We've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneeled down. As I kneeled down, the church is in the sanctuary. The whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar, and he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed, and he says, don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
St. John Bosco once had a heavenly vision telling him to reject harsh approaches to discipline and instead raise the children in his care with reason, religion, and loving kindness. Today, we call his method discipleship discipline. It's a means of child rearing that doesn't just focus on stopping bad behavior, but rather helps parents raise faithful kids who love God and lead virtuous Christian lives. Discipleship discipline is great for kids, but it also helps parents experience and share God's love more effectively with their families. That's why discipleship discipline is such an important part of the liturgy of domestic church life, a way of experiencing the faith as the source of the warmth in your home. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
You're listening to the best of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamia.
28 minutes past the hour. Appreciate the expertise from, of course, Maureen Ferguson, our guest. She wrote a great piece posted on Newsweek, and we'll give you the link to that on the archive section of Catholic Connection. Parents, here's how we can protect kids from the dangers of smartphones. Opinion piece, very good. Now, I think it's fascinating that you were able to get half of the moms of the kids in your teenager's class, your daughter who was turning 13, to come meet with you and to sit down and say, look, let's do this together. And I truly think that's a brilliant idea, because I think there's probably a lot of parents who also would hope that other parents would do the same thing, but there's safety in numbers and they need encouragement. And it's still amazing, though, as we were chatting, Maureen, during the break, and you and I do a lot of research on this area, and I write and speak about it all the time. I'm stunned that more parents don't stop the cell phone usage or don't look at this more seriously in terms of when do I give my child a cell phone and automatically get them a phone for Christmas or whatever when they're far too young. And if you look at the research, and you know this, if you look at, for example, groups from Parents TV, Television Council, they will tell you that despite some of the efforts that you have out there that are available to block certain things, that a lot of parents aren't using these tools that are available. So what can we do to convince other parents to do what your group did? What do you think?
Okay, so I'll get to that. But first of all, on your point about the parental controls, don't really work because kids are smarter than us on technology.
Yeah, they can work around it. Exactly. Right.
The other thing is, who has time to manage it all? Because every different app has a different parental control. I mean, it's like a full-time job, even if you have one kid to manage their online activities, let alone if you have multiple kids. So one of my points to parents is that it's actually easier to say no than to manage the fallout. it's easier to keep the genie in the bottle than it is to try to manage this wild genie once the genie's out of the bottle. And then you have to deal with all the fallout when they're exposed to all the harmful content. It's much easier to raise a happier kid who has a healthy, wholesome in-person social life rather than a kid that's constantly getting sucked down all these rabbit holes.
Right.
And so the way that we did it is I got together with one or two like-minded parents, and we emailed all the moms in my daughter's class, and we said, hey, our girls are turning 13. We're entering the teenage years. How can we make this easier on all of us? How can we collaborate as moms? And I would recommend doing this much younger, actually. I would recommend doing it before, well before your child is hitting 13. But so I said, let's get together and see how we can collaborate. And then we just went through the evidence that the Surgeon General has presented, and the Wall Street Journal has had just like, I feel like at least once a month, they have an expose of the toxic content that is being fed to your kids on TikTok or on Instagram, how the algorithms are feeding up this super duper harmful content to our teenagers. So we kind of went through why it's so bad, and we said, hey, all say no, if we all put it off, like at least until they're 16 or later, then our kids can all hang out in person without being sucked in and addicted to all these apps. So that's the way we did it. And I'll tell you, every mom that came to the meeting, about half of the moms in the class came to the meeting, and every mom who came to the meeting said, yeah, let's do this. Let's hang together. Let's say no to our kids. We're going to give them the alternate kind of dumb phone so that they can text and call each other, but not scroll the internet.
Yeah.
And if any parent out there like doubting how harmful this is for their kids, there's a new video out. It's called The War on Children. You can Google that, and it's sort of an in-depth. You know, you can watch a movie like the Social Dilemma with your kid, because these are former tech CEOs and employees that explain how these apps are manipulating kids, how the algorithms manipulate kids. And you know what? Kids don't want to be a fool. They don't want to be used and manipulated.
Right.
So the more that you help them to understand how these apps are manipulating them, the more they're equipped. Because eventually, we do have to educate our kids, because as they get older, they're going to have to make these choices for themselves.
Right.
So there are a lot of ways to help them and to introduce technology slowly as they get, you know, their brains are more developed, as they have a little bit more self-mastery, as they're older and heading off to college. And like one, I'll give you two examples of what we did in our house with our older teenagers once we did allow some of these apps or technologies. We have in our kitchen, we call it a freedom basket.
Yeah, I saw that. I love that in the article. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah. So when we come in the house, we try to leave our phones in the freedom basket rather than always having them attached to us. Like, smartphones are not allowed in my kids' bedrooms. And we plug them in the freedom basket overnight to charge. The phones stay down in the kitchen. They're not allowed in the kids' bedrooms overnight. You know, you can get an alarm clock on Amazon for $12. You don't need your phone to be your alarm clock.
Right.
So we all try to keep our phones in the freedom basket. It's there if you want to go check the weather or check your email or whatever. It's there, but it's in a public place. The other thing is, if you have one common family password across all of your family devices, it kind of removes the entitled mentality that kids have nowadays, that this is my personal device and it's totally my domain, my private domain. So having it be a more public device, a family device, like, okay, now we have a family smartphone that I'm going to allow you to use. Here's the family password. Anyone has access. It really just prevents a lot of temptation, removes the near occasion of sin, you might say, if everybody knows the same password. And it's not to be, you know, sort of nosy or reading, you know, every exchange your kids have with their friends, but it just helps to elevate the online activity and prevent kids from going down dangerous rabbit holes.
Yeah, but the thing is, and you know this as a mom, but I wrote a book about my mom, Everything's Coming Up Rosie, 10 Things My Feisty Italian American Mother Taught Me About Living a Godly Life. And she would tell me very bluntly, I'd say, well, this is my room. Yeah, who's paying for the room? Who's letting you live here? It's like, I am your parent. You are under my roof. And you may say this is, you know, and my mom, I remember she said to me once, and after I was married, she was butting in about something. I said, Ma, I'm married. I will always be your mother till the day I die. And then when I die, I'm going to come back and haunt you. In other words, I'm always going to be interested, and I'm always going to be your mom. This attitude that these kids had, this is my territory. This is my, I'm sorry, you are under your roof as a parent. And so what you're doing is so Catholic, which is so great, because you're taking the responsibility, which a catechism says you're supposed to do, but then you're also doing this at a very local level, which is also very Catholic.
Yeah, exactly. Subsidiarity there.
Yep. But, bingo.
And you know, before we sign off, I'm just going to tell you one story from the hearing.
Okay, quickly. There, we have about a minute, so quickly wrap it up. Thanks, Maureen.
Great. So Senator Amy Klobuchar, she's a Democrat from Minnesota. She told the story of a mom's effort to manage social media. And she said, this mom said to me, it's like the kitchen sink is running, the sink is overflowing, and I'm out there with a mop. I'm mopping up all the flood. And this is my message to parents. Turn off the faucet.
Yep.
Put down the mop because you can't manage all the fallout. Turn off the faucet. Your kids don't need this stuff. Give them an alternate dumb phone. Hang with other parents. Collude in a conspiracy for the good.
Amen. And as you are a great example, your kids did not just survive, but they thrived, which is huge. Great advice, Maureen. Thanks so much. Maureen, Senior Fellow with the Catholic Association. Terrific article, op-ed piece. Posted on Newsweek. Again, we'll give you the link. Parents, here's how we can protect kids from the dangers of smartphones. We'll be right back on a Wednesday.
'60 on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The fifth commandment, you shall not kill. At the heart of this commandment is an absolute insistence on the sacredness of human life. We read in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, Before I ever formed you in the womb, I knew you, says the Lord. So every human life is sacred because it's caught up in the mind and the heart and the will and the love of God. And no matter how we're conceived or any circumstances, God has always known and loved every human person. And for this reason, we are to hold sacred every human life. We are, therefore, to never murder, never kill, never seek vengeance. Of course, we have issues of abortion and euthanasia today, and we have so many ways where we in some way disrespect the lives of other human persons, and even our own life. We have to learn to respect it as a great gift from God. The fifth commandment, you shall not kill.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Remember the song, You Gotta Have Hope? All you really need is hope? Well, it's not all you need, but it is one of the three theological virtues. The Catholic Catechism tells us that hope helps us desire heaven and eternal life as our happiness. We trust in Jesus' promise while relying not just on our own strengths, but with the assistance extended by grace from the Holy Spirit. Hope keeps discouragement at bay and sustains us in times of abandonment. It preserves us from selfishness by leading us to the happiness that flows from charity. Christian hope unfolds from Jesus' preaching of the Beatitudes, which raises our hope to heaven as the new promised land. The Catechism says hope is expressed and nourished in prayer, especially the Our Father, the summary of everything that hope leads us to desire. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You know, I love to talk about all things Italy. Well, this is a really cool story that was shared with me by my friend John Hale from Corporate Travel. Dr. Jeff Kleck is on the phone with us. He's Dean of Academics at Catholic Institute of Technology. And, Doctor, this just sounds amazing. I don't know how much studying you could do, though, if you're in Castel Gandolfo, because it's such a pretty area. I'd be out on the balcony looking over Lake Albano. It's just gorgeous. So tell us about the Catholic Institute. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. And you're absolutely right. It's going to be tough, right?
Yeah, it's so pretty there.
Yeah, it is so pretty there. I love it there. So Catholic Institute of Technology, you know, going right now, first inaugural class starting September of this year, 2024. Wow. So we're really looking forward to opening the doors. We have students or our prospective students. I shouldn't say just prospective because, you know, there have been folks accepted. We have rolling admissions that are going on now through April 15th. So if you know of, you know, young men and women who would fit a wonderful STEM education being given by wonderful faculty of the humanities and the engineering and sciences, then going to Castel Gandolfo and going to Catholic Institute of Technology is probably the thing for them.
So for those who aren't familiar with Castel Gandolfo, I was describing its location. It's a beautiful, beautiful lakeside town in the mountains just south of Rome, and it used to be the summer home of the Pope. The town itself is beautiful. So where is the institute located? Because you have the former papal summer palace there and the little town and the church, which is so pretty. Where are you in that region?
So, of course, Castel Gandolfo is village, little mm-hmm. town. Sitting on the rim of an ancient, volcanic crater, which, of course, is Lake Albano in the bottom of the crater. And, on that crater, like you said, the Pope's, former summer residence and, papal gardens, there are papal gardens there and the Vatican Observatory. So just below, so if you go down, just go down the rim from that. A few minutes walk away is the campus.
Wow. So tell us your involvement. How that started with you, and then how long. So this is brand new, right? The Catholic Institute of Technology.
It is. It's been in the works and the minds of the founders and the members of the Board of Trustees for a while. And it's all come together this year, so a lot of work, even though it looks like it suddenly, sprang out of air. The reality, it's been the thinking and the brainchild of so many folks that have been working on it for some time. Our founders, the Board of Trustees, many of the folks that are participating as faculty. So this is really just the culmination of all that time spent in. So we have faculty coming from MIT, I'm from Stanford. Those are two of the top ranked engineering and science universities in the United States. Catholic Institute of Technology is a U.S. university. So our U.S. headquarters are in Cambridge, Massachusetts, of course, adjacent to schools like MIT and Harvard. And our campus, though, of course, is in Castel Gandolfo in Italy. So we're a U.S.-based university with a campus in Italy.
So how did you get involved?
Strangely enough, I was reading some news that someone had shared with me, which included information on Catholic Institute of Technology starting. And I was just so compelled, I reached out to the founders and the president, and I said, what is this all about? I'm a faculty member at Stanford, still am. And I just thought this was one of the most amazing things I had heard of in a long time, a new U.S. university being started and focused on STEM, and the Catholic Church supporting it. And so as I reached out and learned more, I got, pulled in. And I was happy to be pulled in to help.
So, Dr. Jeff, how much time will you be spending there each year, do you think?
So I will be spending quite a bit of time there each year. So our faculty will be living there, obviously teaching there, as the students will be living there as well, 9 months out of the year.
Wow.
So three of the quarters. Because I am doing both, I'm the Dean of Academics, but I'm also the Chairman of Entrepreneurship and Technology Commercialization. So a lot of my work will be also moving around, working with those members of private institutes, public institutes, government institutes, and universities, research labs, and, you know, places like this in the Silicon Valley to make sure that we have built a lot of bridges and connections between Catholic tech and the world that these engineers will be one day leading for us.
Absolutely. Talking with Dr. Jeff Kleck, Dean of Academics at Catholic Institute of Technology. Check out their wonderful website, very simply, catholic.tech, and you can check it out online, all the information there, again, catholic.tech. So what do you need to do to apply? You just have to have an interest as a student in the area of scientific research and Institute of Technology, I mean, wanting to pursue science. I mean, what's the basis for kids applying to the university?
You know, I think students that that have a disposition or interested in a STEM education, which I believe is just a wonderful education regardless of what you're going to do in life because of, you know, the scientific method, creative thinking, collaboration. I think all those students should be applying to Catholic Tech. And you just need to go to catholic.tech and all the information's there on application. And we have a rolling admission process. So the beauty of this, I know it's such an ordeal for folks to go through the process of applying to universities, but you hear from us very quickly, and you know, we admit people, you know, continuously, and we will through April 15th. So if a student hasn't already applied, they should go to catholic.tech. Get the application in, and let's see if they can join us in Castel Gandolfo in September.
So they do need to be interested, though, in the sciences, correct?
Yes, I think that's important. Our focus is on our initial degrees. We will have more, but our initial focus is on mechanical engineering, civil engineering, electrical engineering, computer science, biomedical engineering, and the biological sciences.
Got it.
So if they think they're interested in any of those or related fields, then they should be applying.
So what if they're already enrolled in another university, doctor, but are interested in all those things and wanted to have an experience at the Catholic Institute of Technology? Is that possible?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They should apply. Anyway, in addition to the new students that are coming in as freshmen, we have a program with we call the Newman Fellows. Mm-hmm. Of course, these are folks that have even completed, done work and completed degrees and then realized, you know, this is, you know, Catholic Institute of Technology is probably the right place for them. So we have folks coming out of existing degree programs and graduates of degree programs that are coming here, you know, for their STEM education.
This is an awesome opportunity, and I'm looking at the website, and I'm thinking, and by the way, if you're just joining us on Catholic Connection on a Friday, we're having a chat with Dr. Jeff Kleck, Dean of Academics at Catholic Institute of Technology, which is based in the beautiful town of Castel Gandolfo, south of Rome, catholic.tech. What an opportunity, not only obviously to learn about the Catholic connection to the sciences and all the great knowledge that we have in that area. Of course, Dr. Spitzer has done so much in terms of helping us embrace that, or Father Spitzer, who's also a PhD as well. But I'm thinking, doctor, of them being in the shadow of Rome and living the Italian lifestyle and embracing the beauty, that's going to make them very well-rounded if, in fact, they are able to get out away from the classroom setting, which I'm thinking is probably one of the reasons you wanted that location, because it would be a very well-rounded education.
You're absolutely right. And I've spent so much time talking about the STEM education, but we, of course, you know, it was the Catholic Church that, you know, that started the Renaissance.
Right.
You know, there is so much, so much to learn by being there. So I really am looking forward to how these students are going to grow and the opportunities they're going to have in front of them.
Yeah, because the whole idea is, as you say in your advertising, is to educate the next generation of Catholic saints, scholars, and scientists, right?
Yes, that's absolutely the case. I think these students are going to be the folks that are going to help, you know, lead us, you know, for the next generation and generations to come, because Catholic Tech is here now and it will be here for a long, long time.
So are there scholarships available?
There are scholarships available. So part of the process, again, at Catholic.tech, if you go there and find the admissions information and the application. There's also information on scholarships. So we love talking to students about that because we want to make sure that we give every student the opportunity to come there who is, who would like to be there and, of course, can come and help us make a difference.
Now, what about housing? Will they be staying in that area of Lazio, in Castel Gandolfo?
That's a great question. We are so fortunate. Our campus has housing for all of our students. So we will be able to house all the students right there on the campus, which is just such an amazing experience to be able to, participate with all their other fellow students and not only the academic activities, but, of course, Catholic life and everything beyond sports activities. So we have quite a bit, we have quite a bit for a really immersive experience for the students. Of course, they'll be able to, leave the campus and explore, but they'll just have a wonderful opportunity to be in a great place to live.
How many students can you accommodate at the campus there?
Our first class will probably have on the order of about 50 students because we 50 incoming students because we view initially for the first 4 years when we have gone through 4 years, we'll have about 200 to 250 students on campus. So that will be, that's the initial size of the university. Then we'll grow. Our expectations are, we can grow to about 1,000 students mm-hmm. total.
But that's great because that really gives them a real personal experience. Because one of the reasons, and this is going back a long time, but not to digress, but I chose a particular college for myself because I was going into journalism and I didn't want to go into a huge, huge college. I went to a smaller college that had a really good journalism program and found that the personal attention was so important.
That's exactly right. And we want to keep it that way. The student-faculty ratio is 6-1. And that is
wow.
So important. Because,
that's great.
Yeah, I know. I would love to go back and have that kind of student faculty ratio when I went to school because it does mean that there's individual attention to all of the students.
Well, this is, I don't mean to interrupt you. I have about 10 seconds left, but this is really exciting. Even though engineering is not my background, my husband is a retired architectural and electrical engineer, and I can't wait to tell him about this because he'll probably show up in Castel Gandolfo and do that time machine thing and sit in the classes. Doctor, congratulations on this, and what a great opportunity. And I'd love to hear more about it as well. Keep up the great work. Catholic.tech. Wow, so cool. Talk about a well-rounded experience, beautifully located in Castel Gandolfo, south of the Eternal City. If you've ever been to Castel Gandolfo, get there. It's gorgeous. We'll be right back.
Hi, friends. Jonet Williams here. Join me every Wednesday on Women of Grace Live as I welcome New Age researcher and blogger for Women of Grace, Sue Brinkman. Sue and I will be talking about all the wacky things that could distract you from your faith. Psychics, yoga, Reiki, crystals, acupuncture, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and astral traveling are just a few of the stranger things we discuss. That's why we call it Wacky Wednesday. So join us at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Ave Maria Radio invites you to feast on the joy of fasting this Lenten season and all year long. Fast from complaining. Feast on appreciation. Fast from negatives. Feast on affirmatives. Fast from unrelenting pleasures. Feast on unceasing prayer. Fasting is a part of true Christian life. It liberates us from this world as we grow closer to Christ.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. you may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
I hope you know how much we appreciate your listenership here at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, as well as the Ave Maria Radio Network. And we always say we are all about the resources. So just remember, anything you hear daily on this show, you can check out. You can go to, for example, the EWTN Religious Catalog through EWTN.com. You may also go to the archive section of Catholic Connection at AveMariaRadio.net. And all the resources are there for you. This is also a great way, by the way, to witness. Sometimes if you're challenged by a friend or a loved one on a particular topic and you hear us talking about an issue, right, that has come up, especially, right, over the holidays or a special occasion, you can go to or tell your friend or family member with whom you're discussing something to go to one of these sites and to listen to a program, or you can send them to the link to the program and they could hear it for themselves. That's why we call Catholic Radio part of being a member of the Shy Evangelist family, right? Because we do the evangelization for you and you can pass it on. We'll talk to you in the next edition of Catholic Connection. Thanks again for listening.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.